There will be no personal nor direct attacks on anyone. And I would ask that you please try to keep down the loud cheering and the clapping. There will be no booing and no unruly behavior. With that,
this is painful, and it will be for a long time.
Donald Trump, baby! That's right, this man knows what's up!
After all, these are a couple of high-stepping turkeys, and you know what to say about a high-stepper. No step too high for a high-stepper.
This is Midday Mobile with Sean Sullivan on FM Talk 106.5.
Well, Sean's a tough guy. I mean, I think everybody knows that. You know, Sean, he took some licks. He hangs in there.
Yeah, what's wrong with the beer we got? I mean, the beer we got drank pretty good, don't it?
Did you hear what I said?
So this is a brave council. I had no doubt about them.
That doesn't suck.
If you don't like it, too bad.
Last question. Were you high on drugs?
Last question. Kiss my...
I'm from Brooklyn. We speak in strong language.
Brooklyn! You know, when will that become an excuse for us from other parts of the country, huh? Foot on a pad and have Air Force medal. Beasties sound good all these years later. Should we just let Ed Brock and the boys play? Don't know. We get started with the Thursday edition of Midday Mobile on FM Talk 106.5. And if you're wondering, I am not from Brooklyn. I am not from Brooklyn, so I guess I have different codes of speech. I can't just say
I'm from Brooklyn.
You know, I mean, if I'd say something offensive to you, if I would threaten members of the Supreme Court, I could say, listen, I didn't really threaten. I'm from Brooklyn. Yeah, if you're from Brooklyn, then it's okay. If you're from Brooklyn, it's a different set of rules. It's a different set of rules if you're from Brooklyn. All right, we'll get into that also, what just went down a couple minutes ago. I'd say about half hour ago, no big surprise, as they were reassessing in the Warren campaign and they reassessed their way out of the campaign. Get some of the audio from that in just a second. Plus, coming up at 12:30 today, former Senator Jeff Sessions, trying to be Senator Jeff Sessions again in this runoff between now and the 31st. A lot of campaigning to be done. We'll talk to Jeff Sessions coming up at around 12:35. Got questions? You can always text those in to 343-0106 or hop on the telephone. Love to hear your voice at 343-0106. All right, let me get to this Schumer thing, because this is interesting. And I was buried in other stuff yesterday afternoon, and went to dinner with the family last night. The first question I got asked, they said, did you hear Schumer? Did you hear him earlier? I said, I did not. So I had to go back to the house after dinner and hear a little bit more of what Chuck Schumer, Senator Schumer, had to say out in front, standing right out in front of the Supreme Court. You know, the big edifice up there in the front of the Supreme Court, standing out there and doing this.
I want to tell you, Gorsuch, I want to tell you, Kavanaugh, you have released the whirlwind and you will pay the price. You won't know what hit you if you go forward with these awful decisions.
Doesn't that part kind of sound like, it reminds me like I'm walking through my 9-year-old's in there watching one of his cartoons, you know, and this line here from Schumer.
I want to tell you, Kavanaugh, you have released the whirlwind.
I mean, release the whirlwind. It truly sounds like it's ripped from a cartoon. I mean, I don't know which one, but I'll figure that out. So there it is yesterday. Chuck Schumer, he gets a rebuke from Justice Roberts. And then today he says, wait, you misunderstand. Because remember, y'all, from the first clip, he's from Brooklyn, so different set of, wait, here he is.
I'm from Brooklyn.
Yeah.
We speak in strong language.
Mm-hmm.
I shouldn't have used the words I did, but in no way was I making a threat. I never would do such a thing.
No.
And Leader McConnell knows that. And Republicans who are busy manufacturing outrage over these comments know that too.
You know, with all due respect, I'm not not saying that I'm outraged. I don't have any manufactured outrage, but I sure as heck just want to go back. Can we go jump back to the other clip?
I want to tell you, Kavanaugh, you have released the whirlwind, and you will pay the price.
Okay. Let's just get down to, I was going to say the kind of cattle term that I won't do, and not where the hay can get down to the nut. I won't say that, but let's just get down to what's really, you heard the clip. Okay, because the spin machine is happening now. And once again, I'm not surprised by Chuck Schumer. I'm not in some place. It takes a lot to get me outraged. I don't know, in today's outrage culture, I pretty much yawn on the thing. So I'm not outraged, but what is bothersome is the retelling. You heard the clip there. I'm not telling you what Chuck Schumer said. I'm not taking it out of context. Y'all know me long enough. I don't do that. So there's Chuck Schumer. And then he comes out and says, well, I was not threatening the Supreme Court here. Members, I was not threatening Kavanaugh, and I've always said Gorsuch, but I guess it's Gorsuch, according to Chuck Schumer. But once again, you make the call. Let's go NFL, you make the call. Let's run the clip again here. Chuck Schumer.
I want to tell you, Kavanaugh, you have released the whirlwind, and you will pay the price.
Did he say... He's saying he meant that about Republicans would pay the price, not members of the Supreme Court. Did y'all hear him say Republicans would pay the price? No. And a little bit earlier today, Mitch McConnell commenting as well.
There is nothing to call this except a threat. And there's absolutely no question to whom it was directed. Contrary to what the Democratic leader has since tried to claim, he very, very clearly was not addressing Republican lawmakers or anyone else. He literally directed the statement to the justices by name.
Exactly what Mitch McConnell said. I mean, once again, before you have somebody retell you the story, say, well, I heard so-and-so say, let's go one more time, and from the top, let's go to Mr. Brooklyn himself, Chuck Schumer.
I want to tell you, Gorsuch. I want to tell you, Kavanaugh. You have released the whirlwind, and you will pay the price.
Why do I hear Castle Grayskull in the back of that? So he says specifically, Gorsuch, Kavanaugh, you reap the whirlwind, you will pay the price. And then for Chuck Schumer to turn around and say, I wasn't threatening those guys. It was the Republicans.
I'm from Brooklyn.
Yeah.
We speak in strong language.
Mm-hmm.
I shouldn't have used the words I did, but in no way was I making a threat. I never, never would do such a thing.
Of course not.
And Leader McConnell knows that. And Republicans who are busy manufacturing outrage over these comments know that too.
At least if we manufacture outrage over this, we're doing it here stateside. We're not importing the outrage from a manufacturing source elsewhere and bring it in. Chuck Schumer, come on, man. Just be honest, you know? But you're from Brooklyn, so we'll be right back because we're from Mobile. This is Midday Mobile on FM Talk 106.5.
Information update brought to you by C Spire, where they think your organization deserves more than a one-size-fits-all phone system.
This is Midday Mobile with Sean Sullivan on FM Talk 106.5.
Right, 12:18 FM Talk 106.5 and Midday Mobile. I didn't get a chance. May I send a text? So I got a... Had family in Queens, had family live in Manhattan proper. Got a sister lives in Harlem now. I don't know if she could translate. Again, I'm just no hayseed here on the Gulf Coast and simple and ignorant and can't follow the speed of the brain of Chuck Schumer. But I'm pretty sure, you know, I got my translator here and this says in Brooklynese, when you say this. Okay, let's play this into the... Open up that Google page. Let's play it in.
I want to tell you, Gorsuch. I want to tell you, Kavanaugh. You have released the whirlwind, and you will pay the price.
Now, first of all, I think it has some... Whatever that was, it He-Man or something when we were kids. Lots of us remember that. Castle Grayskull, it has that kind of sound to it, and that. But also, I mean, he specifically threatens Justices Gorsuch and Kavanaugh. Specifically, does it. Once again, you don't hear a big. I'm not tossing things about or being outraged. I'm just being factual. For him to turn around and say, "No, I didn't threaten anybody." Come on, man. He put it in some South Alabama. I don't know if you speak any South Alabama. You have anybody there, Chuck, that can translate this, but you're lying, man. You're not telling the truth. Okay. Grab some phone calls. Got a lot of text to get through on this as well. But 343-0106, 343-0106. And Carl in Mobile is first up. Hey, Carl. What if I've not pressed the right button here?
Paul. There
you go. Oh, Paul. I'm sorry, man. Paul.
Okay.
It said Carl, Paul. You answered anything.
Huh?
I said, Carl, Paul, you're like me. You'll answer to anything.
Yeah, exactly. I do think it's wrong that Schumer said it, but again, let's remember what the president has attacked.
I was waiting for this. You know I set my traps, right?
Yeah.
Okay.
Yeah, and I walked right into it.
Yes.
But, you know, they did attacks on federal judges and calling some Obama judges and some, you know.
Listen, the New York tone thing, I don't buy that for an excuse from any side of the aisle. But
we usually say ma'am and sir, so...
No, we'll say bless your heart, Paul.
Instead of ma'am or sir.
No, we'll say bless your heart, Paul. Bless your heart, Paul. No, but
yeah,
when Schumer says... But I'm sorry, this is not Brooklyn. That's not, I'm from Brooklyn. If you said, hey, you know, you've released the whirlwind at Castle Grayskull or whatever, and we're coming after you, you're going to pay the price. Don't come in the Senate the next day and say, oh, I didn't threaten them. I meant all Republicans. No, you didn't. Just live up to it, man.
Well, here's another thing. When you say things like they're going to get theirs, that also sounds like an attack. I heard that before, too.
But and who was told that they were going to get theirs? Whose name?
The president was
said,
told about the one who...
What did he say?
Who were released to the Ukraine.
He said who? Who was going to get theirs?
What was her name? She testified. And she says she's going to get hers.
Okay, so she's going to get hers.
The Ukraine incident. What's her name?
I know who you're talking about. Name. I can't. Somebody on the text line will tell us in a second. There's
but
so
I mean,
many
that's
names.
Another threat.
Okay, so
I don't think that.
Hold on, Paul. Hold on. I'm subbing in. I'm phoning a friend here on our game, and
we
my friend is Dalton Orr.
Marie Yovanovitch. Is that who we're talking
Yovanovitch?
About?
Yeah.
Yeah. Okay. There we go.
You say she's going to get hers, what the heck does that mean?
But did the president then come out and say you misunderstood? I'm from New York.
I'm from New York. Yeah, he too's from New York, so I guess it's two New Yorkers.
That's what I'm saying. I'm just a dang, you know, simpleton here from Dixie.
I agree. He never should have said it, but nobody should be attacking anybody's judges. Judges at all.
Or if you're gonna, which I agree, I'd rather it not happen at all. But don't come in the next day and say, "Oh, you misunderstood me. I meant all Republicans." No, you didn't.
God bless their heart.
There you go. Bless your heart, too, Paul. Leaves the line open at 343-0106, 343-0106. Thank you to Calvin and others. Thank you that y'all like some Beastie Boys. That's good. I'm showing my age, but it was good old days. Calvin says, my DJ passed. Yes, Calvin, you know, I've spent many a decade in rock and roll radio before transitioning back in 2009. By the way, we're in our 10th year here at FM Talk 106.5. All right. Thank you, Gamecock Girl said, was there an apology in there? I'm from Alabama. Maybe I missed the apology. Gamecock Girl, you and I, obviously, neither of us speak Brooklyn. Like I said, I got a sister in Harlem that I'm trying to get her on the phone here, see if she can translate, because she speaks with an accent, like she's from New York and all that, but I want to see if in Harlem... If you say specifically, well, let's go. I would play this clip for my sister. I would say, listen to this.
I want to tell you, Gorsuch. I want to tell you, Kavanaugh. You have released the whirlwind, and you will pay the price.
Maybe I'm just a yeah, I'm just country hick. I don't understand this stuff. Joshua, you just cracked me up. Maybe it was, and you got the year on it too. Maybe what I was hearing in that release the whirlwind was not He-Man. It was release the Kraken from Clash of the Titans back in 1981. Joshua, remember the robotic owl in that movie? I was younger. That was fast. I was like, it's an owl, but it's a robot. It's amazing. Let's see. Once again, trying to divide the country by calling out President Trump's Supreme Court appointments. Yep. I'm going to get to that coming up in a little bit because I want to talk about that as we look at this Senate runoff and we start talking about the job of the Senate and confirmation and who's right and the real wins President Trump has had in the judicial, right? And he still has more to go, but some huge wins. You could be somebody who maybe voted for President Trump the first time holding your nose, right? Just said, it's not going to be Hillary Clinton. And if you're a conservative, you're probably very satisfied by the Supreme Court additions, right? We think got to make sure there's people in the Senate to continue to work with the president on that. Okay, somebody else, somebody says, is Castle Grayskull from He-Man? I think it was, right? Wasn't that He-Man? Because this texture said, because Skeletor is exactly what I was thinking. Thank you. And, oh, Dalton, maybe we'll pull that. We should add maybe release to the whirlwind in the intro of Midday Mobile. Travis says, sounds like Monday Night Raw. Yes, yes, it does sound like some wrestling. texture says, Schumer now says, who are you going to believe, me or your lion ears? This is good stuff. I get to more of these texts coming up. Don says Tasmanian Devil, but we could never understand what the Tasmanian Devil said. Remember that? Remember the... Wasn't the Tasmanian Devil like you couldn't... Like a garbled bunch of... I don't think we could... He was always like spitting and stuff. Thank you, Dan. You're on the same page as me. He said, so what? Is being from Brooklyn like implied with all due respect? You know, when somebody tells you, with all due respect... Trust me, the next thing out of their mouth is not going to be respectful when you hear it with all due respect. All right, let's see here. Oh, and a little bit more from Mitch McConnell here as he contended. And is Mitch McConnell going to make hay with this? Sure he is. Sure he is. But he's right. He's right to make hay with it because if Chuck Schumer were to come in and said, listen, I lost my cool, I said something I shouldn't, I didn't mean that, that's one thing. But to go on the show, you misunderstand, I'm from Brooklyn. Mitch McConnell said this earlier.
I fully anticipate our colleague would quickly withdraw his comments and apologize. That's what even reliably liberal legal experts like Lawrence Tribe and Neil Katyal have publicly urged. Instead, our colleague... Double down. He tried to gaslight the entire country and stated that he was actually threatening fellow senators.
And that's the other part that I like, too. It's the, oh, yeah, well, I wasn't doing this. I was doing that. It's like, you know, you get in trouble. Your parents say, looks like you had a 4-keg party here at the house while we were out at going to visit your grandparents. No, ma'am, that is wrong, and I'm very bothered that you said we had a 4-keg party at the house. Then later you're in mind going, because we had 5 kegs and 2 bands or something like that. All right. I'd get in the markets today, but once again, I stay confused. When we opened up Mobile Mornings today, I was looking at the stocks that did well, and some of them were interesting. Of course, healthcare stocks doing well. That makes sense. And anything that could be related with masks or gloves or hand sanitizer because of the coronavirus threat, they did well. Do you see yesterday, though, and movie theaters were down. That kind of makes sense. They were actually delaying the new James Bond movie release date, all that over. I think they're moving it from April to November because of fears of people not going to the theaters because of coronavirus. Okay. I saw this. If you look at stocks of companies that make home workout equipment, like Peloton and stuff, that was gone like gangbusters yesterday. And thought, okay, well, maybe there's some lift in the market. Everything's going to be fine. And then today, then the market, it goes the other way. It's one of these things that I don't know what they know, but there's a lot of things. You look at our market, just look at the market for a second. Have the Have the fundamentals of Apple changed? And you can quickly say, yes, Sullivan, man, they're going to have supply-side problems. Sure they are. Are they going to have supply-side problems forever? Is that always going to be a problem for Apple? Are people going to, whenever we're down the road and this coronavirus is just another footnote, hopefully, just a small footnote, we'll see how big it gets, in the history of this planet, will people go, man, back then before coronavirus, people really loved Apple products, but now they don't. Will we see that? So I don't get why the immediate bailout, the two-faced stock market is confusing on that as we watch it, but we'll see. But the good news is, you know, as much as you say that, then you look at the rates out there. This should do something, as you have I think 3.2 on a 30-year today. I think they released 3.2 on a 30-year mortgage. I mean, how do we have some kind of major issue here? If people are employed and you have the 30-year interest rate at 3.2, I mean, mortgage rates are all the time. But now, you worry about what does that mean for federal monetary policy, sure. But in the regular consumer economy of the United States, how can having extremely robust employment and low interest rates do anything but float? I mean, the coronavirus thing will be what it is. Do we deal with it for today, tomorrow, for 10 years? I don't know, but I don't think the metrics of our economy should be put on their ear. But the market seems to disagree. We'll watch those numbers. Hey, coming up, Jeff Sessions joins us live in studio on Midday Mobile. Y'all stay right there.
This is Midday Mobile with Sean Sullivan on FM Talk 106.5.
All right, 12:36, FM Talk 106.5 and Midday Mobile, where we speak of, a basic tourist Brooklyn. So it may not freak the whole Brooklyn. Am I missing something, y'all? You know, I mean, even Paul, who called to say, well, you know, he's going to say, well, President Trump says the same things. But Paul did not disagree with me that what Chuck Schumer said was specific to Kavanaugh and Gorsuch, right? I mean, that's where that y'all notice once in a while, I smell blood in the water. I go after stuff more than normal. That's when somebody's just BSing, man. It's just when you don't go back. Once again, if you're new to the show, hey, this is Midday Mobile. Glad your scan stopped right here. My name is Sean. Glad to have you. So Chuck Schumer. Senator Chuck Schumer says this.
I want to tell you, Gorsuch. I want to tell you, Kavanaugh. You have released the whirlwind, and you will pay the price.
Okay, you hear all those yous, specific yous. So he identifies, right? You have the proper names there. Identified Kavanaugh and Gorsuch. And then he says, you. He doesn't say... Doesn't say anything about fellow Republican senators or Republicans in general. He says you. And then, well, he comes in the Senate and says, wait, you got me all wrong on this.
I'm from Brooklyn. We speak in strong language. I shouldn't have used the words I did, but in no way was I making a threat. I never would do such a thing. And Leader McConnell knows that. And Republicans who are busy manufacturing outrage over these comments know that too.
No, they don't. And believe me, I mean, the outrage machine, I get it. I tire of the outrage machine. But in this case, you're lying, dude. And I know I'm just some old, you know, Gulf Coast hick, man, but you're lying. You're lying. Anderson says he didn't say all y'all. That's right. He did not. He identified two specifically. What do you think about that? I mean, is this a is this the new level? Is this where the bar is set lower and it's all okay? Because the discourse has become, and a lot of people are very happy that the discourse has become less genteel. I'm not one of them, but I get where you're coming from. If you like it, I get it. I do understand you. I don't like, I get it. I'm not crazy about it, but I get it. But there's a difference between language I believe might be beneath the office in a lot of cases and what just went down with that. I mean, to the point that Justice Roberts, you know, rebuked Schumer. Now, what that goes on is, I guess that goes on this permanent record. I don't know how that affects things. It goes on a permanent record on that, but he got somebody from the Supreme Court. The Supreme Court doesn't do a lot of talking publicly about things, right? Which I dig. Let's keep it that way. But in this case, it was enough that Roberts, Roberts, more times we talk about Roberts, we're talking about the upset among Republicans with Justice Roberts, right? So, but it's Roberts who said, you're not going to do that. So I think it's worth pointing out, number one, I think there'd be no story here. Well, there'd be a small story, but it would not be a big story if all of a sudden he had come into the Senate and said, listen, I made a mistake. I said something I didn't mean to say. I apologize for that. I would smell no blood in the water. But to turn around and immediately come into the stand of the Senate and say, well, I didn't say that. Y'all just don't speak Brooklyn. That's what we call down here, we call a lie. I'm going to see. Former Senator Jeff Sessions, of course, candidate in the runoff here in the primary for Senate, is joining me in studio now. And maybe you can help me because I'm just a Gulf Coast guy and do have a sister who lives in New York. I've been around a lot of New York accents and all that. I don't speak fluent Brooklyn, but I have a little bit of familiarity. Brooklyn or Queens, or anything, it just sounds like he lied to me.
Well, I don't know whether he lied or not. But
he said
he didn't
threaten the two members of the Supreme Court.
Well, I did not hear that. That is obviously wrong. And but the most important thing is we have a raging debate in America over the courts. He and I, Chuck Schumer and I, have teed off on it years ago.
Yes.
We fought a number of battles over it. I thought basically I had backed him down. I considered it a win because he took the view, Sean, that a judge, when we confirm judges, we should know what their ideology is, really their politics, because every judge allows politics to direct their opinions. And I took the view that this is absolutely contrary to the founding principles.
Yeah.
Judges put on robes. They take an oath to serve under the Constitution and under the laws of the United States, and their politics is not supposed to impact their decision-making. So that's the debate. And we went at it for a number of times. He would say it, and I would rebut it, and basically quit saying it. But that's obviously still his view, that a politician can threaten judges on the court to get them to render something other than a lawful ruling. It is a threat to the American legal system. I'm glad he's taking heat. He doesn't take enough heat. He needs to be censured. No senator should do what he did in this instance.
You bring up a point that I hadn't even thought of, which happens quite a lot. What was his attempt? And say, but people just joining us again. I want to run the clip again. Here's what happened yesterday afternoon.
I want to tell you, Gorsuch. I want to tell you, Kavanaugh. You have released the whirlwind, and you will pay the price. You won't know what hit you if you go forward with these awful decisions.
All right. So then, when he comes into the Senate and says this.
I'm from Brooklyn. We speak in strong language. I shouldn't have used the words I did, but in no way was I making a threat.
Now, right. I'm a simpleton here. Help me. To me, it sure sounded like he specifically called out Gorsuch, specifically called out Kavanaugh, told them to reap the whirlwind, they would pay the price.
That is a threat without any doubt about it. I think he deserves to be censured for it. And if he were to continue to do these things, he should be expelled from the Senate. This is not an acceptable thing for a powerful politician in America to do. Call out by name two judges. Listen, this is the way I see it. When they talk about ideology, mm-hmm. President Obama used a horrible phrase, empathy.
Mm-hmm.
Well, what is empathy if it's not bias? What is empathy if it's not politics,
mm-hmm.
Ideology? What you expect in a judge is what Justice Roberts testified to, and he and I talked about it. Actually, I think I suggested the language to him, but I won't claim that. And that is, a judge is a neutral umpire. It does not take sides in the game. When you say ideology or empathy is a factor in your decision-making, then you're saying your personal values, politics, get to decide cases. That is so contrary to the law. Law, politics, and bias are the antithesis of law. I'm sure Tommy Tuberville understands all this.
Well, I want to get into,
I mean, this is a raging issue that progressives still believe that everything is about the revolution, advancing their agenda, and there are no principles and no law that really stands in their way to accomplish their goals.
Okay. Having dedication to the rule of law and ruling on law is not a bias. It's seen by the left as a bias, right? They're always trying to say, well, what would you do here? You'd enforce and challenging that someone would rule on the law as it's written and saying that that's a bias. But I agree with you. It's not a bias. That's the job, is to say this is what the law says. So if your bias is to the Constitution, if your bias is to the rule of law, then I guess there's a lot of us that are guilty.
Sean, well, you're right about that. We had a lady came from China, or actually Hong Kong, that expressed to us at the Department of Justice the fact that they had an independent judiciary. I didn't realize it. It took me a little time to realize this is important, because Beijing, mainland China, communist China, wants to influence that.
Sure.
So she was saying we still have it. That's why they had so much riots over this legal decision over there, because the people of Hong Kong, who've been raised in the British system, the American system of law, believe that judges aren't supposed to be communists. They're supposed to rule on the rules.
Right.
And so it's a fundamental thing. And if we lose that independence, then we've lost something precious. That's why judges can't have their salaries cut.
Mm-hmm.
They get a lifetime appointment. Sometimes we grieve about it, but you don't.
But it's for a reason. The founders knew better.
When you have your judicial system become one that's based on ideology and politics, disaster has occurred.
Yeah, there's a lot of savvy in what you're saying too, in interpreting Schumer, spending the time around him, knowing kind of what his triggers were and what the battles you had fought against Schumer, and it sounds like you had felt pretty good about he understood things and you'd kind of put him right, but sounds like he's forgotten that.
Well, he backed down. It wasn't a winning argument. The American people, when they heard those two arguments, they were on my side,
mm-hmm.
on the law's side. You can't have judges pushing their political agenda. I understand the liberal Lawrence Tribe criticized him.
He did, today. Yes.
I remember having an exchange with him on this very subject, and my staff thought I kind of got the best of him because he was leaning that way, and I made this fundamental point that you and I have just discussed. But he it's hard for any real practitioner of law in America to find any way to justify what Chuck Schumer did.
Well said. All right, coming right back, more with former Senator Jeff Sessions, of course, candidate here in the runoff for Senate for the Republicans. They have 26 days left, 27. Yeah, he'll count them down when we get back. And we'll take your calls and texts at 343-0106.
This is Midday Mobile with Sean Sullivan on FM Talk 106.5.
All right, 12:51, FM Talk 106.5. Midday Mobile on this Thursday. Glad to have you all along, and good to have Jeff Sessions in studio. 26 days, I think, is my count right? 26 days here till the
49.
4 weeks to the runoff. It used to be like 6 weeks in runoffs, right?
I think so.
It's expedited here to March 31st. Let's talk about a couple things here. I want to continue this discussion because it's great to have you. I mean, the odds got you in studio and this is going on, and your experience in the Senate and your experience in the judicial branch. I mean, it's kind of perfect thing here. You said something to me during the break, and I want you to say it again to everybody, because you said, hey, Sean, I don't want to say it's not okay to criticize a judge, right?
Yes, I truly believe that the left, every time you criticize one of these left-wing decisions, said, oh, you're threatening the independence of the judiciary. You can't cut their salary. You can't remove them from office. How can you criticism threaten the independence of the judiciary? But what you should never do is to say, I have a political opinion about abortions, and if you don't vote with me, I'm going to make you pay, and I'm going to, in effect, threaten you in ways that we don't even know what could be. That is very, very wrong. And one thing I think most of your listeners know, it's something that I've been a fighter for the entire time in the Senate on the Judiciary Committee, 20 years. I've been involved in these confirmation fights from the beginning. The thing is that this is a division. President Trump is appointing judges, and for the most part, former President Bush did, and Reagan, that believe in serving under the Constitution and laws of the United States as objective, ruling objectively, not taking sides in the ball game, but following the law and the facts. Their view of the judiciary is that it must advance the goals of great agendas that some of them believe in. Mm-hmm. They believe that words of the Constitution can be adapted to modern times. They believe in the living Constitution, which means you can make the words, twist them to make them say something today that the people who ratified them never intended. This is a direct threat of law in America, and President Trump is just doing a great job with the nominees. That's one of the reasons I endorsed him from the beginning. He has delivered, and every conservative in the country is really proud of what he's done. But that's one of the big battles. It's a philosophical difference. It's this postmodern relativism of the left versus the orthodox traditional rule of law of the middle America and the conservatives.
But it's interesting to me is if the left calls that bias, then that bias is to the rule of law. So I wish they would just say that. Say, we don't want to confirm, get a Senate confirmation. We don't want to confirm this nominee for Supreme Court because their bias is to the Constitution, the rule of law, because that's where the bias is, right? It's non-interpretive. So if there's a bias, it's a bias to the Constitution.
Yes. Look, we've had the debates. The Democrats started for the first time after the Bush v. Gore election to filibuster systematically highly qualified judges. That never happened before that. Judges would be held up and delayed, but not of systematic filibusters. And they proudly announced they changed the ground rules of confirmation. They knew they were making a big change. So this left wants to advance their political agenda, whereas the conservatives and traditionalists in the legal world believe that judges should just make the right call on the law and the facts. Otherwise, you've got an unelected, lifetime appointed in a judiciary that sets policy. And that's what has outraged people like myself and other conservatives, that they've used this guise of following the law to advance their political agenda. They would never win at the ballot box.
Right. They could not get it done. I've parroted this for years, but what they could not get done, the legislative branch or the executive branch, either through executive fiat or through passing laws in Congress. Okay, well, what's next? Let's go to the third leg. Let's go to the judicial branch and try to get something changed there. That's not the purpose of the judicial branch.
So right. And I just would say to your listeners, I think most people in Alabama totally get that. But I've been a champion of that every day, probably as strongly or more strongly than any member of the Senate, and certainly and active in the Judiciary Committee on all these matters. I want to continue that fight. I know where the battle lines are. I know where the forces are. We've been having some great victories, and we need to keep them going.
Yeah, something I want to talk about just strategically for our state, and that is, and I don't know when Senator Shelby will want to not run again. I don't know that. But when you were Senator Shelby, we had the most senior senatorial delegation, right?
Yes.
Okay. When you took the AG
one of the
job.
Most.
Yes, one of the most. When you took the AG job, I lamented many times on air because I said, uh-oh, we're going to lose, you know, our punching ability. I worry down the road having people come in, and we talk about your opponent in this race as well, that are new. Real new to it, and then the fear that down the road, when Senator Shelby decides he doesn't want to run again, or somebody bests him, then we have possibly an extremely junior, if not the most junior, senatorial delegation. At the same time, we're looking at the chance of possibly losing a congressional district in the House and going to six. The only place I see us having a puncher's chance for those ideas and those feelings that you just expressed are in the Senate, where we can stand on equal footing.
It's an important office. The Senate of the United States is no little matter. It's right. Not somebody who waltzes in from Florida and just declares he wants to be an Alabama senator. Florida's already got two senators. because we have some things in common with Tommy Tuberville, although we're both from Camden. I'm from Camden, Alabama, and he's from Camden, Arkansas. That's where he grew up. But I'm just teasing, but it's a big deal. This is a big Senate seat. We've got things right now that I nurtured from the very beginning, the LCS ship that Austell is. Even before I knew we would be in Mobile, I was a part of the Sea Power Subcommittee. I can get back on that again. We've got to protect that program. We've got to protect Airbus from unfair competition and let them grow and prosper. I know those things. I was at the beginning on all of those and others here. I know this region of the state. Appreciate Bradley Byrne. Well, I hear the music, so
yeah,
maybe.
Can you hold on a second?
Yeah, okay, I'd love to.
Come right back. We're going to the news and come right back with Jeff Sessions.